Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
A DEA, Drug Enforcement Administration Agent. So that's what a DEA is, a Drug Enforcement Administration Agent. Stopped at a ranch in Texas to talk with an old rancher and inspect his property. He said to the rancher, "I need to inspect your ranch for illegally grown drugs." The rancher pointed and said, "Okay, that's fine, there's no worries with that. But just don't go in that field over there." The DEA agent verbally exploded. "Mister, I have the authority of the federal government behind me." Reaching into his rear pants pocket, he removed his badge and proudly displayed it to the rancher. "See this badge? This badge means I am allowed to go wherever I wish, on any land. No questions asked or answers given. Have I made myself clear? Do you understand?" The rancher nodded politely, apologised, and went about his duties. A short time later, the old rancher heard loud screams and saw the DEA agent running for his life. While being chased by the rancher's prized bull, with every step the bull gained ground on the officer, and it seemed likely that he'd get caught and trampled before he reached safety. The officer was clearly terrified. The rancher threw down his tools, ran to the fence and yelled out at the top of his lungs, "Your badge! Show him your badge!" Just a story on authority. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you for tonight. We just thank you that you are here and we've witnessed the power that there is in worshipping you, and Father, that you want to speak into our lives. And Father, I pray that you would continue to do that now as we hear a word on authority. I pray that my words would be your words, and that you would guide me every step of the way. And we just thank you for your life-changing word, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So, over the last probably month or so, and it stems back from late last year, one of the things that I've been, prompted to do, I would say, is to read through the Gospels, and from the point of view of read through all the miracles and the healing that took place in the life of Jesus, during the time of the life of Jesus. And so I've been just skipping some parts, but obviously stopping at some of the moments where, well, all of the moments where there was some sort of healing or deliverance, and where Jesus clearly was involved with that. And so it's been interesting. I started at the at the temptations of Jesus and work through from there, and God's given me something really good on that. But there was a story that I read out of Matthew fairly soon after that, which really caught my attention, and it was about the authority that we carry. And so the definition of authority is the power to determine, to adjudicate or otherwise settle issues or disputes. Jurisdiction, the right to control, command or determine. Now, if you've got your Bibles there, if you can turn to Matthew 8, and we're going to start at verse 28. And it's a story of the two demon-possessed men who came across Jesus, and it just really caught my attention. So I want to speak about that and the authority that we carry. When he arrived at the other side in the country of Gadarenes, I think that's it. At least I tried. Graham didn't try this morning when he couldn't read that word, but I tried. So that's, I think it's G- Gadarenes or something like that. Anyway, you get the gist. Two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs met him. They were so extremely fierce and violent that no one could pass by that way. And they screamed out, "What business do we have," and in the Amplified it says, "in common with each other, Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the appointed time of judgment?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was grazing. The demons began begging him, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." And he said to them, "Go." So they came out of the men and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and died in the water. The herdsmen ran away and went to the city and reported everything, including what had happened to the men under the power of the demons. And we won't read verse 34. It was very interesting when I read this. A couple of things really caught my attention, and this wasn't necessarily one of them. But so here we've got two demon-possessed men. So at some point along the way in their life, these demons had entered these men. Now, whether that was whether that took place by sin in their life, or whether, you know, just an unbeknown circumstance, we don't know. We don't read that in the story. But at some point, these demons had entered these men. And the first thing that I really noticed from this was that they knew who Jesus was. Jesus didn't call out to them. They called out to him. And it's interesting, when we come to authority, these guys, before anything had happened, knew their place. These two demons, the two demons knew their place. They knew exactly where they sat in the scheme of things. And there was no question to them. They weren't giving Jesus any lip. They weren't saying, you know, "Come and get us, Jesus. You know, how good are you?" You know, that there was none of that. Immediately, they knew the power that was in the Son of God. They called out Son of God. So they knew who he was. And so I thought that was a really powerful thing, that there was no question. Now, you know, maybe if they hadn't called out to Jesus, Jesus might have called out to them, who knows. But they knew exactly the power that they were dealing with. The second thing that I noticed is they were concerned what Jesus would do, and they knew what was coming in the future. So they knew. They had been informed of their fate. They were there was no doubt about it that their time was coming. And they were just asking Jesus, and get the picture of this. They're talking to Jesus in he's an authority. They're asking Jesus, you know, is this our time? And none of it was, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. They've got no control over the situation. They are firmly under Jesus' authority. And the last thing that I noticed was that they begged Jesus. They actually begged him. So they were coming to Jesus, knowing the authority that he carried, and they were begging Jesus. There was no them tripping off and doing whatever, running out of the men and going where they wanted to go. They needed permission to go where they wanted to go. And I just thought that was such a powerful thing, and an understanding of the authority that Jesus carried here on earth. And so it's interesting that they went in there, and then the pigs, you know, went into the sea and they died. And from that, it's interesting the outworking of Jesus' authority and power. But from that, the thing that I didn't read was in verse 34, it says, "And the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And as soon as they saw him, they begged him to leave their region." He'd done a good thing in cleaning up these men, but they wanted him out of there because he was going to continue to clean up the area. And yet they didn't want him around. And it's interesting, in the world we live in today, a lot of people are aware of Jesus' power and power in the name of Jesus, but they don't want him around. Because when he starts to clean things up, or when things start to get cleaned up, it's going to make a big difference. And demons and Satan are very aware of Jesus' power. And each one of us here needs to know of the power that there is in the name of Jesus. The authority that we carry with us that is in the name of Jesus. And so the first thing that we see here that I want to talk about, and we'll go to Luke 10 in a minute, is that Jesus has given us authority. Okay. Now, in Luke 10, verse 17, it says, "The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning.'" And he says, "Now listen carefully. 'I have given you authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions, and the ability to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy.'" It doesn't say some, it says all the power of the enemy. All the power. "And nothing in any way will harm you." So the authority that the 70 were given and that we've been given is to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy. Now, who is the prince of this world? Satan is the prince of this world. But he is under the authority of God, of Jesus. He is under that authority. And even though he is the prince of this world, we carry a greater authority with us as we walk around day to day, everywhere we go, we carry that authority. So Mark 16, 17 and 18 as well, if you want to write that down, if you're taking notes. So I'm not going to read that, but Mark 16, 17 and 18 as well. So if you want to write that one down, you can. Luke 9, verse 1 says, "Now Jesus called together the 12 disciples and gave them the right to exercise power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases." So Matthew 28, 18 as well talks about the authority that has been given to us. We've been given authority as well. So if you want to follow up and read those things, I encourage you to read those scriptures. But it's very clear here that Jesus gave the 12 and the 70 and also us the authority to have power over Satan's work. Now, Satan does have authority, but it is limited. And the scripture, and I think I didn't write down the scripture, but it's during the temptations of Jesus, and it's in verse 5, I think it's Matthew, but I can't remember exactly what it is. "The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, 'I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me and I can give it to anyone I want.'" So here's Satan saying, he's been given the authority and I can give it to Jesus. All right. And it says, "If you worship me, it will be yours." Now, Jesus didn't call him a liar at that point. He knew that Satan had that authority. But Jesus also did say at that point that you have no authority over me at a later stage. So he is the ruler of this world. John 12:31 talks about that as well, if you want to read about that. So we understand that Satan does have some authority in this world, but he doesn't have authority over Christians. We can allow him to if we don't walk in the authority that we have been given. So we have been given power over all the works, all the power of the enemy. So Luke 10:18 is another scripture if you want to read it, if you're taking notes once again. But let me just go through some of his works. So what are some of Satan's works and some of the demons' works? So these are some of them. So if you have a look on the screen with me, deception, temptation, division, oppression, sickness, disease, accusation, condemnation, confusion, subtlety, and one of the other ones that I wrote down here was thwarting God's plans and purpose. That's part of some of his works as well. Now, that's only some. So when does Satan work, or when do the demons work? Sometimes he works when we're tired. That's a good time that I know Satan can come when we're tired. During decision times in our lives, Satan gets a little bit active in decision times in our lives. Before and after we testify or give a testimony. And it's often the same around big decisions like baptism and that sort of stuff. The other thing, anything to do with new birth. You know, you'll see sometimes Satan will try and deal with things with new birth, because that's the last thing he wants, because new birth is about, you know, God is all about new birth. And you'll often see him in weaknesses. Now, the other thing that I wanted to talk about quickly before we move on is how to recognise his works. Well, we recognise his works, and some of them are going to be similar to this, but we recognise his works if you see unusual behaviour changes, you know, and sometimes parents see unusual behaviour changes in kids, but it's not just in kids. It can be with anyone who has a shift in behaviour where it starts to turn a little bit ugly. You often see Satan at work there. We see it, how to recognise his works in lies. When there's lying going on, he's around. With deceit, when things are being hidden, especially with division, and it happens so much in the body of Christ, unfortunately, people don't recognise it and aren't able to, you know, see it for what it is and deal with it. Sometimes in physical and mental illness, in addictions, when you see rebellion around, Satan's pretty clearly, you know, involved with that. When we see relationship breakdown, we can see that he's involved with that. One of the interesting things is false doctrine. When there's false doctrine being spoken, if he gets into the heads of people, quite often Satan's involved with that. And the other one I wrote down was moral corruption, where there's moral corruption. Now, this isn't any exhaustive list, but these are some of the places when you see those things, you can recognise Satan at work. Now, if that's Satan at work, we have authority over all the works of the enemy, all the works. So when we see it, we have the authority in Christ. Now, there's a couple of things that I just wanted to, I'm getting close to, you know, drawing to a conclusion. But one thing we've got to know is it's not our authority. It's God's authority given to us. Okay, so it's not, don't start getting a big head if you see an answer to prayer somewhere along the line and you think, oh, wow, you know, how good am I? No, let's stay humble in it. It's God's authority given to us in Christ. Okay, so when we accept Christ as our Lord and Saviour, we then carry his authority. Now this is really important. We use the authority given to us under instruction. All right, now, if it's good enough for Jesus and if it's good enough for the Holy Spirit, then it's good enough for us. John 14:30 to 31 says, I will not speak with you much longer, for the ruler of this world, Satan, is coming, and he has no claim on me, no power over me or anything that he can use against me. But so that the world may know, without any doubt, that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father has commanded me, and act in full agreement with him. Full agreement with him. Not some, not occasionally, full agreement with him. So, and then he says, get up and let us go from here. Now, John 16:13, in a similar way, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, full and complete truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears from the Father, the message regarding the Son. And he will disclose to you what is to come in the future. And so the Holy Spirit is under instruction from the Father. Even though they're the Trinity, they're under instruction. They're joined together. They're in unity. Now for us, and this is the one Graham mentioned this morning, and I think this is so powerful. And we'll start at verse 6 in James chapter 4. But he gives us more and more grace through the power of the Holy Spirit to defy sin and to live an obedient life that reflects both our faith and our gratitude for our salvation. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud and the haughty, but continually gives the gift of grace to the humble who turn away from self-righteousness. And then it says this. We've heard this scripture before where people say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. There's a very important part that is missing from that little statement. It says, so submit to God. Submit to the authority of God, as it's written in the Amplified Version. The authority of God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him and he will flee from you. So there's a bit of a rider on the authority that we carry. And God is not looking for people throwing around his authority willy-nilly. He is not looking for that. And I believe it is hard to carry authority until we come under authority. All right? Now, authority is not just, I'm not just talking about coming under God's authority. I'm talking about coming under authority put in place by God, which is man. And when I was preparing this, it really came out at me that I must stress this point. If you have difficulty coming under authority, don't think you're going to be carrying much authority, God-given authority. And so you may not like everything you hear. You may not agree with everything you get from your boss or from the senior pastor or, you know, from your mum and dad. But they've been appointed by God. And that is the authority that you need to come under. And I can tell you, you will struggle big time to walk in power and authority that God has given you if you cannot come under authority that God has placed. And so I just want to put a rider on that. That is a very important thing. So submit to the authority of God first. Okay. The next thing I had for, it's not for us to boast about, which I mentioned before. It is for kingdom purpose. The authority that we carry is for a kingdom purpose, not for our own personal purpose. It's for a bigger purpose, wider purpose. It's for God's kingdom, okay? And it's his will on earth as it is in heaven. So when I mentioned that list before of some of those things, and when we see the evidence of the authority that we have over in, you know, the power and the works of Satan, where we mention things like division, when you see those things, it's important we know when Satan's at work. And so firstly, the first thing that I want to say to you is that we've got to know the authority that we have. We've got to know what we have in the authority that God has given us. We better know about it. Okay, that's why it's so important to read the Word. There's no point living the Christian life not knowing what's going on. We've got to know the authority that we have. The second thing is we need to be aware of when the enemy is at work. And sometimes I've seen people, they try and pull Satan out of absolutely everything that they see, and they're trying to cast him out of this and cast him out of that. And, you know, in their own life, they're dealing with things like unforgiveness and they're dealing with bad attitudes, and they're trying to cast Satan out when maybe they need to get out of the right side of the bed of the morning and get a good attitude. So we're talking about things that where we see the enemy at work, we need to be aware of it. And it's, you know, it's an unusual change in behaviours and that sort of thing, and you can see Satan when he's at work. But I don't want to go through all that tonight. You need to research it for yourself. So be aware of the enemy and the work he's at. The third thing is believe in the authority that you have. We've been given it. Jesus gave instruction that we have it. So believe the authority that we have. The fourth thing I wrote here is use what we have been given. If you haven't been using it and you see Satan having a field day, then get out there and start using the authority that God has given you. It's interesting. I was talking with Claudia today, and a few years ago, I think it was, well, a number of years ago, we we'd had some behavioural issues, unusual behavioural issues with one of our boys. And I've got one here tonight, so I need to be careful what I say about this. And I can't say whether it was you or not, Josh, so we'll just... It was an unusual behaviour, and we committed to prayer on this, and we started to call on the authority that we have in Christ. And I think it was within a week we got two responses from two people who were authorities in his life. It's good I've got boys so I can say his and there's no kind of work out who it is in his life. And they both, one wrote a letter and one said that there's been a massive change in his behaviour. And I can tell you it didn't happen by accident. It happened because we dealt with the authority that was playing games there, and that was Satan. And so we were able to see God's power. And look, there's plenty of stories here. I've heard some stories from Graham, and I know that you'd all have stories on this front that when there's unusual behaviour, we can see God's power at work, and we can take authority over those situations in Christ and see the victory won. The other story that I want to quickly tell you is there was a time in Tasmania when I was when I travelled there years ago, and Tasmania is an interesting place. Have we got any Tasmanians here? Any Tasmanians? Good, I'll be nice. but I was with a couple of mates a number of years ago. And we were travelling around Tasmania, and we'd come to a town where one of my dad's pastor mates was there, and he said, "Look, we'd had some issues with something that happened the night before with some of their youth," and so a young man they'd been playing around with a Ouija board, and so everything had gone horribly wrong, and this guy. You know, we had two girls running into a room, screaming away from this guy. His eyes had turned white, and he was just, you know, he was going nuts. And anyway, it all calmed down, and the next day, like he said, "Well, you've had some experience with your dad through this. Do you mind coming and praying?" And so we went and we prayed with this young man, and there'd been some horrible stuff that had happened. He was delivered that day, and it wasn't. It wasn't through a lot of any high-pitched screaming or anything like that. It was working on the authority that God had given us to see victory in his life. And he went on to he went on to be a very strong Christian young man and did some awesome things for God from that point. But the point is that it was the authority exercised over Satan's work. God's power is greater than what Satan's is. And we all carry it. All of us carry it. And it's important that at home, when you're at home and you see it, with family, with friends. Now, at home, I'm not sure who we've got here, but at home, you may be the only Christian influence that you've got. At work, you may be the only Christian influence. I can remember some stuff going on at my workplace at Everest Timber years ago. And I can remember, you know, that all this, it was quite horrible. And as I was walking out the door, I was really disappointed about what had taken place. And as I walked out the door, he said, "You've tried everything." God said to me, it was like almost an audible voice. "You've tried everything else. How about praying?" And so so I did. I spent not a long time, but I spent a bit of time praying. And a solution came that I never would have thought would have come. But it was the authority that I was able to walk in that is God's authority, and the demons will flee. They know the power of the Son of God. And so we need to know the power that we have in the name of Jesus, and we need to walk in it. And so family, friends, work situations, I wonder how many of you guys pray for your friends when you see them going through it and you see an unusual change of behaviour. And, you know, whether it be at work or at school, at uni, whatever it is, God is bigger than that situation. His name, Jesus, carries more power and any weight than any demon can ever muster. And you can have hundreds of them, but Jesus' name is greater. And so it's important that we walk in the authority that we have. Now, what I want us to do what I want us to do, I'd love us to, guys, if the worship team can come up, I'd love to sing that song again. But I want us to all to stand. I want us all to stand together. And what I'd like you to do is just take a moment to think of a situation where you can see the enemy at work. Just bring one to mind. Now, if you haven't got one, that's okay. But think of a situation where you can see the enemy at work. And it's not, you know, we're not talking about someone's got a, you know, simple, you know, they sneezed an hour ago or something like that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a situation where you can see the enemy at work. And whether it be at work or at home, with a friend, whatever it is. And I want you to commit that right now with the authority that is given to you. And we're going to sing together. But I want you to walk in the authority that God has given you. Because we all carry it. If you're a Christian here tonight, we all carry it. We carry the authority. And it's not just a throwaway line. And remember that story that I read at the start. Demons know the name of Jesus. They know the power and they know their time has come. And so if you call their time is up. And it may not be just one simple prayer. It might be you need to commit to it. And so where you've seen a situation where you see no answer or you've seen difficulties, I want you to commit it to God tonight and I want you to walk in it hour by hour, day by day until we see the authority of Jesus over that situation and see a change take place. Okay, so let's sing together. Just before we sing, I'll pray and then we're going to close after that. But know the authority you have. Walk in it and do it in obedience to what Christ has shown you, what God has shown you. Father, we just thank you for the power of your word. We just thank you for the amazing life that we saw in Jesus and your son, that gives us so much confidence to see strongholds broken. Lord, to see the power broken where the enemy's at work. And we just thank you that we have authority over all the power, all the works of the enemy. And we just thank you. We know that that his time is coming, and you know, at the end of this world, his time is coming. And he's going to be a bit of a nuisance, but we know that we have the victory. And so, Lord, let heaven come to earth in the situations that we're believing for now. And we pray that there would be a change, and we believe together. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.